The Boy Who Loved Math, The Improbable Life of Paul Oderos. Looking at the cover, what clues does the cover illustration give you about the setting, the time, and the place of the story? What might improbable mean? There once was a boy who loved math. He grew up to be one of the greatest mathematicians who ever lived, and it all started with a big problem. Paul Oderos lived in Budapest, Hungary, with his mama. Mama loved Paul to infinity. Paul loved mama to infinity, too. What does it mean to love someone or something to infinity? When he was 3, Mama had to go back to work as a math teacher. He didn't want anything bad to happen to Paul. So she left him with the one person she knew would take very good care of him. She left him with Fräulein. Fräulein had too many rules. That was a problem. Paul hated rules. He hated to be told when to sit still, when to eat, when to go to sleep. What would Paul do? Why or why not are rules important? How do we use rules in the classroom or through our everyday life? He couldn't exactly solve the problem, but Paul knew that when summer came, Mama would be home with him all day, 100% of the time. So he taught himself to count really high. Then he figured out how many days it would be until summer vacation. It made him feel much better to know the number. Paul kept counting and thinking about numbers. One day when he was 4, Paul asked a visitor when her birthday was. She told him. What year were you born? He asked. She told him. What time? She told him. Paul thought for a moment. Then he told her how many seconds she had been alive. Paul liked that trick. He did it often. Paul played with numbers. He added them together and subtracted them. One day he subtracted a big number from a smaller number. The answer was less than 0. How could a number be less than 0? Mama told him numbers below 0 are called negative numbers. Paul thought this was so cool. Now he knew for sure he wanted to be a mathematician when he grew up, but first he had to tackle another big problem. School. Mama sent him to school, of course, when it was time, but Paul and school were not a good match. Paul could not sit still for long, so he got up and ran around the classroom, but that was against the rules. Oh, how Paul hated rules. How could he solve this problem? Paul told Mama he didn't want to go to school anymore, not for one more day, for 0 days. He wished he could take days away, negative school days. He pleaded with Mama to stay home. Luckily, Mama was a worrier. She worried about germs a lot. She worried Paul could catch dangerous germs from the children at school. So she helped him solve his problem. She said he could stay home with Fräulein. But even Fräulein was better than school. Even 500 times better. Fräulein and Mama did everything for Paul. They cut his meat and buttered his bread and got him dressed and tied his shoes. That was great. It meant Paul could think about numbers all day. Why are numbers such a comfort for Paul? Can numbers be comfort for you? Numbers were his best friend. He could always depend on numbers to be there and behave in the same way. Numbers followed rules. He didn't like rules in life, but he liked rules in numbers. And so Paul turned 7, then 8, then 9, and when Paul was 10, he fell in love. He fell in love with prime numbers. Prime numbers are special. They can't be divided evenly. A prime number can be divided by itself in 1. The first prime number is 2. but that is the only even prime number. The other prime numbers are odd. The numbers 3, 5, and 7 are prime. But not all numbers are prime. 9 isn't prime because you can multiply 3 times 3 to get 9. Paul had a lot of questions about prime numbers. Do they go on forever? Is there a pattern to them? Why is that the higher you go up you go, the farther apart the prime numbers are? Paul loved to think about prime numbers. How could you fall in love with prime numbers? Or numbers in general? When he got older, Paul wanted to go to high school. He liked school a million times better now. He made many friends, people his age who loved math and were really good at it too. Paul and his friends did math together all over Budapest, but Paul was the best. He loved being at the top in math and at the top of the towers and mountains and buildings too. He thought about math, whatever he was doing, wherever he was. By the time Paul was 20, he was already famous around the world for his math. People called him the magician of Budapest, but he still didn't know how to do his laundry or cook his food or butter his bread. That was not a problem. He still lived at home and Mama still did everything for him. But then, one day, when Paul was 21, some mathematicians invited him to go to England to work on his math. Could he survive out in the world on his own? He rode the train by himself. He met the mathematicians. They all went to dinner. Everyone else talked and ate, but Paul stared at his bread. He stared at his butter. He didn't know how to butter his bread. Finally, he took his knife and put some butter on it and spread it on his bread. Phew, he did it. It wasn't so hard, he said. Even though he could now butter his own bread, Paul soon realized that he didn't fit into the world in a regular way. He wasn't the kind of person to cook or to clean or drive a car or have a wife and children. He wasn't the kind of person to live in one place and have one job. He was the kind of person to do math all the time, and he still didn't know how to follow rules. So he invented his own way to live. How could you describe Paul's life? Is it similar to yours? How is it different? Here is what he did. Paul would get on an airplane with two small suitcases filled with everything he owned, a few clothes and some math notebooks. He might have $20 in his pocket, or less. He flew from New York to Indiana, and to Los Angeles. He flew across the world from Toronto in Australia. I have no home, he declared. The world is my home. And wherever he went, when he got there, the same thing would happen. The mathematician would meet him and take him home. The mathematician and Paul worked on math. Paul played with the mathematician's espolon. That's what Paul called children, because an espolon is a very small amount of math. And just as Mama had done, friends all over the world took care of Paul. They did his laundry and cooked his food and cut open his grapefruit and paid his bills. Now, Paul wasn't the easiest house guest. He made messes, big messes, like the time he got impatient and opened the tomato juice carton by stabbing it with a knife. And he often woke up the host at 4 a.m. and said, "My brain is open." That meant he was ready to do math. He wanted to do math about 19 hours a day, every single day. One time when he was a young man, he broke the rule that got him into big trouble. He climbed over the fence to look at a radio tower. He got arrested. The police thought he was a spy. The FBI thought he was a spy, though they spied on him for years after that. Why did friends all over the world put up with him and take care of him, call him Uncle Paul and love him? Because Paul Oderos was a genius, and he shared his brain. He helped people with their math problems and gave them more problems to do. Plus, he was a matchmaker. He introduced math magicians all over the world to one another so they could work together. Paul knew that mathematician plus mathematician equals more and better math. What makes someone a genius? How are you a genius? Paul and his friends did so much great math, and they worked in math called number theory, combinationers, the problematic method, and set theory. Paul showed his friends how to do math in new and better ways. He even started some new kinds of math. Some of the math Paul and his friends worked on gave us better computers and better search engines on computers. Also better codes for spies to use. Uncle Paul was generous with his brain and his money too. Whatever money he had, he gave it away. He gave money to poor people and he offered prize money for unsolved math problems. Even when Paul got very old, he still did math. He did math while he played chess. He did math while he drank coffee, lots and lots of coffee. He thought about math while he played ping pong with his best friend. Paul said he never wanted to stop doing math, and he didn't. To stop doing math, Paul said was to die. So Paul left the world while he was at a math meeting. All over the world, mathematicians still talk about the love of Uncle Paul. Even the people who never met him, they talk about their Oderos number. If you did math with Paul, you did an Oderos number of 1. If you worked with someone who worked with Paul, or Oderos number is 2. People are so proud of their Oderos numbers. A long time ago, there was a boy who loved math. Numbers were his best friend. He grew up to be the man who loved numbers, and people were his best friend. Paul Oderos had no problem with that. The end.